The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. After Jesus was baptized, he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, and please be seated. The first reading today is about the fall of Adam and Eve. It's one of those wonderful, iconic stories that we read about in Scripture. We see it on TV. We see it in all kinds of plays and poems. And really, the truth of it is, if one would look at this mythical story, it would be more reflective not just of sin, but of human nature. And what we have there is an expression of what we do with certain kinds of situations in our life. Adam and Eve, one would assume, are very, very happy. Here God is with them. They're in the garden. God tells them, till the garden, take care of everything, and you'll be fine. But what's happening there is that something underneath that particular sense of security with God is being undermined by the question that the Satan or the tempter is posing to them. He suggests to them, God hasn't told you everything. He's suggesting to them, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be like God. And so he works with this temptation. He works with this sense of insecurity, and he makes them feel as though there's something missing in their life, and they're very vulnerable and very prone to do certain things. In the 17th century, there was a great philosopher by the name of Blaise Pascal, and he wrote about God creating humanity with a kind of a God hole within them. It's nothing bad, he was suggesting, but something that kept us tethered to God because we needed a sense of God in our life. In the 4th century, the African bishop, Augustine, wrote in the first lines of his book of the Confessions that God created us with a restlessness in our souls. And with this restlessness, we don't find any kind of rest until we come back to God himself. So there's something missing within us. And in the light of this context, in the light of these great theologians, what we have is the story of Adam and Eve falling and not being able to listen to God, not being able to place their trust in God because they feel as though they have a hole in them. They feel something is missing. And so as the Satan says to them, this fruit will give you everything you want, they see the fruit as something that will be able to fill the hole in their life. And so they take and they eat. Now, if you run to the New Testament for a moment, you see that Jesus himself is also being onslaughted by the same tempter who's trying to get him to undermine his relationship with God by saying, if you are the Son of God, then make these stones bread. And what Jesus does at this point, he gives him several responses which negate this temptation from the evil one to try to get him to undermine the relationship with God. And what we find there is a very interesting thing that I'll get back to in a few moments. But what is it in our own lives that we have as a hole inside of us? Most of us feel as though there's something missing, a missing piece perhaps. I read a story to you some years ago about the missing piece. And it's a little toy that missed a piece because he fractured it. And for the rest of his life, he was looking for the little piece. And in the process, he made friends with everybody. He made friends with butterflies. He made friends with little worms. He even dived into the ocean and made friends with the fish because he had time to talk. He was looking for his piece. But finally, somewhere along the line, he finds the piece. And then he's so full of himself again that he just rolls past the butterfly and he rolls past the fish and he forgets about all the relationships he's had because suddenly he found that piece. So the question is, what is the piece that we're missing? What does it serve? Can it be something that helps us, blesses us, or can it be something that dooms us, can lead us in the wrong way? And so many the answers that Jesus is giving to the Satan, he's telling them, food is not the only thing in life. Simple answers are not the only thing in life, and power is not the only thing in life, because these are three temptations he's offering to Jesus at that time. And so Jesus is able to refute him with the word of God by saying, don't tempt God, don't fool God, God is the only thing in my life. And so he's trying to get at him, he's trying to get that sense of, how do I get you to feel insecure, how do I get you to do what I want you to do? Several years ago, there was a wonderful PBS documentary on Frontline called The Persuaders. The Persuaders is about the evolutionary process of the industry of advertising. And maybe you remember, if you go back far enough, that before the advertisers used to take a lot of pride in the product. They used to push their product. You know, Borax is the best thing for your clothing. Brill cream is the best thing for your hair. Crest toothpaste is the best for your teeth. And that was it, right? But then they moved on to the next stage. And the next stage was to get celebrities to say, this toothpaste is the best, or this detergent is the best. But what the documentary really starts to get at is that they switched now. They're looking not so much for the product, not so much for celebrity endorsement. What they're doing is they're trying to sell you a lifestyle. So they tell you that if you buy this kind of car, or if you buy this kind of wine glass, you're living a good life. You're living the life that everyone wants, that everyone's happy. And you say to yourself, isn't it kind of ludicrous for people to believe that if I buy a laptop or if I buy a particular iPod or something like that, that I'm going to be feeling and living the life that everyone is living? But the document proves substantially that that is the very issue. The very issue is that we're so starved for meaning, we're so starved for a sense of purpose in our lives, that we will buy it. We will go along because we want a sense of lifestyle, because we're so basically insecure. And so if we go back now to the gospel reading, there's something that Jesus says that we all should take to heart, and that we're later on going to live out in the baptism with Tristan. And that is that when he baptized Jesus, what did he say to Jesus? You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. But he also says to all of us, I seal you as my own. In other words, the identity that we're so looking for, the identity that we have in this hole that we have as what we call a primary loneliness, and rather a primary sin, we should look for primary insecurity, is that it's filled with God alone, because God alone is big enough. God alone is expansive enough to get us to move beyond the short-sighted things that we think will fill our lives. Don't we get caught up with money? Don't we get caught up with prestige? Don't we get caught up with attitudes that we want people to pay them back for certain kinds of things? When God is asking us to be above that, when God is telling us you're much more than that, and it's an exchange, because that hole in us can determine whether we become faithful, minute people in life, or will we become ruinous and we become short-sighted. One of the things, that the temptations that comes out of the story of Jesus is that he first tells him, if you're hungry, make this stone bread, right? And all of us can say, oh God, yeah, food, right? I'm going to... So food is the end of life? Having food alone, what does Jesus say? Man should live not by bread alone, but by every word of God. And then he takes him to this pinnacle, and he says, if you throw yourself off, God will make sure you don't get hurt. He'll protect your little feet. And that is kind of a simplistic, ideological answer to the mysteries of life. And the temptation there is to believe that simplistic answers will take care of your complex problems. We live in this world where we think simple answers answer complex problems, but that's not true. Problems need complex responses with nuanced senses of what they're saying and doing and understanding. And then the last one, of course, is the one that many great people fall for. And we've read certain things this week about some people in our religious community that have done things that have been horrifying to us, and that is that they fall for power. Because when you have power in your life, you feel as though you're accountable to no one. And that whatever need you have, whatever particular sensation you have a right to it. By God, and you're lonely, and you should be taken care of. And so that gives you all the authority you need to do what you want to do. But these are lies, because the real truth in our life is not that anything on this earth will give us that absolute sense of being and groundedness. That what we have to have is the openness to the reality of God's unfolding presence and evolution in the world. And this is what Jesus is saying. If you trust in God, you get everything else. Do you remember the old phrase that says, if you have something that you love in your hand, open it and let it go, right? And, you know, New York version is, of course, no, close it and keep it. The idea of opening it, letting it go means that it becomes part of a larger world that you become related to as well, and it's still yours. You still have it. But if you try to possess it and own it, you shrink it, you kill it, you destroy it. And it has no beauty or love to give to anybody else. You see, this is where the fear comes in our life, that we have to grab, that we have to control, that we have to know, that we have to have power, that we have to be right. And what God is asking us to do is let go of that. Don't be so caught up into having to have, you know, that security is where you get caught. Because security is really in holy insecurity. In knowing that you belong to God, that God says, you are my child, I love you, I'm with you, no matter what. Then you can take the journey of life forward. But a lot of us don't really realize that. And when we baptize Tristan today, I'm going to say you are sealed to be God's own. Which means that as parents and as people and as the community of God, we need to support him to live that out. To live that reality that no matter what the world tells you you need to have, we can say you have it already with God. You have it already in the Spirit of God that's with you, and the love of the community and the presence of his Spirit. This is where God is with you all the time. And believe me, there's onslaughts everywhere you go in this world that'll tell you you need to be this, you need to be that, and if you're not this, you're no good. And how many of us fall for that crap? How many of us fall for that sense of being so insecure that anything that anyone says, we're ready to give up everything that we have for that insecurity? And that's the lie of life. They call him the Satan, and the Satan is the tempter. And many of us will confront that moment in our lives when we feel that we're not good enough, we're not secure enough, and we will fall to curse to do the weirdest things. I've done some stupid things in my life, okay? I have had some really dumb relationships in my life, too. I have followed some really stupid ideas. But you know, thank God I can come back to God and I can ask God to forgive me, to open my eyes, to see that there's the more of God, there's the more of truth, the more of beauty that he's asking me to be part of. And to maybe see that within a larger context of his being and presence in my life. And this is what Jesus is trying to communicate. And this is what we take from the gospel today. That your relationship with God is the ground of being. Your relationship with God is the foundation of truth. Your relationship with God is a very maximum being of life and purpose that you can find anywhere. You may not see it. You may not be able to grab it. You may not be able to quantify it. You may not be able to write it down. But by God, you know it within yourself that you're on the right track, that you are grounded on something solid, that nothing can knock you off. Maybe it'll tilt you back and forth, but it won't break you. It won't destroy you. This is what faith is. It's not an answer to something. It is an attitude. It is an openness. It is a connection to the reality that is larger than who we are. Amen. But we can get caught up, and we get caught up over and over again. How many of you older folks feel insecure because you're not working? How many of you older folks feel like you're no longer purposeful? How many of you guys who may not be within the group that belongs, you know, the my style that I was telling you, you feel like maybe you're out of sync with them. You know, all you need to do is go to the mall and see people playing out parts, kids playing out roles that they think they should be playing out. They're testing it. They're trying to figure out, is this me? And they look in the mirror for hours. Is this me? Who am I? They can't even figure. They put my makeup. They straighten their hair. They cut their hair. They put weight. They take the weight off. Is this me? Who in the world is me? And you'll get caught by that. You'll get caught by it in relationships. You'll get caught in it in your work. You'll get caught with it in your own mind. And so today I want you to see how you ground yourself in God. That doesn't mean that you talk God. That doesn't mean you act all religious. That doesn't mean you have to go to church every single Sunday. Of course I would want you to. It only means that you know to whom you belong. To whom you belong. And to whom you're related to, and to whom you can always come back and be renewed from that sense of insecurity. Insecurity can be our wings, or it can be our death blow. You have to see God in the context of that. Ground yourself in God, and you'll be free to at least be available to all the experiences without being destroyed. And then you become much more of a real, nuanced individual. So today we'll baptize Tristan, and when we do that, we will renew our vows. We will remember that we are God's own. We will remember that God has sealed us as his own, and that there's nothing more in this life that we need than God's presence in our own lives. Because it is then the way we will measure and see the reality, all the illusion of things that are brought to us. Amen.